Hello and welcome to Outside In. I'm John Burns and I'm bringing you yet another episode of my podcast, which is designed for people who are like to be outdoors but are, for obvious reasons, stuck inside. And I've got a guest with me today. I've got the amazing Mr. Alan Rowan. Are you there, Alan?
I'm here, John. Yep. How are you?
Brilliant. That's great. That's great. Now, you're famously known as the Moonwalker. That's right, isn't it?
That's correct. Yep.
And how did that come about? Because you do a lot of Munros at night and hill walking at night. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yeah, it was kind of by accident in a way.
How did it happen then? Tell us about that then.
Well, I didn't set out to do Munros at night. That was one thing. I was just doing Munros, and I'd done about 50. Right. I was working all these strange shifts at work, and I was finding it. It was hard to get time to do a lot of the hills and get further away and so on. And then I had the idea, well, if you work 9 to 5, you don't come home at 5 o'clock and go to your bed. I was coming home at midnight and sitting up till 6 in the morning reading. It just seemed dead time. So I thought, summer, I'll give it a wee shot. I'll drive straight up after work to, say, Fort William or beyond, have a wee sleep in the car, get up at 6, do a few mountains, and then head back down the road to work. But of course, first time I did it, of course, absolutely beautiful when I got up there, almost light already. It was 2:15 and I set off. I wasn't tired when I got there, so I just set off walking and suddenly saw a totally different way of walking because it wasn't that dark. The eyes got used to it very quickly. As I was rising up, it was the Essence up just past Fort William. As I was rising up, the day was rising with me and it was just so beautiful. The light changed every 5 minutes, you know, and the view seemed to change because of the colouring. And it just felt great to be up. I sat up there 4:30, 5 o'clock in the morning on my own, having my breakfast, just watching the light and the sunrise. And it just clicked then. That was a good way to do hills, you know. And over the years, you got different timings to set off. I mean, in the winter, obviously, sometimes I would set off a bit later, 4 or 5 in the morning. It depends how much of a walk-in there was. I mean, I wouldn't stumble straight into the heather in the total darkness, for instance. A lot of the big ones, the long walks in and things, you could do in darkness and then start going up the hill just as your eyes got used to it. So it just progressed from there, really. It just became a really good idea, a beautiful way to see the hills.
And I suppose you get the hills to yourself that way, do you?
Oh, yes. Virtually all. I think I met a shepherd up there once and had a good wee chat.
Okay.
Not really other people. It was always a surprise when you saw someone else. It tended to be in the summer when somebody was maybe camping up there or something. A lot of the time you would pass all these tents. I think the ones in the Sheeskick and so on, there's a good little bit in there where loads of folk can camp. And I passed later. It was like an army set up of tents. You know, there were so many. Nobody around because it was 4 in the morning. So folk were in their tents sleeping. You know, nobody was out looking at the views. So, again, you didn't really see anybody. You knew there was life, but there was no sign of it really at all.
So you didn't meet any ghost-like apparitions then?
Oh, yeah. I think that was more to do with lack of sleep, though, to be honest. One or two incidents. A very interesting Brocken Spectre one time, which it took me a few minutes to figure out. I don't know if it's because I was so tired.
Brocken Spectre, that's like an effect where you get a sort of a shadow cast onto the cloud and surrounded by a halo, a bit like a rainbow. Is that right?
Yes, it's when you're above the cloud generally and looking down into the cloud, and you get them a lot with inversions. So you tend to get a lot of them in the autumn and the spring, I would say, mainly, with the temperature rising and so, you know. But this was a very unusual one because I was coming down the mountain and I saw this figure walking up towards me. Now, normally, Brocken Spectre, as you described, is the halo and the flares and so on, you know, like somebody from the 1960s or 70s. But this strange one, because it was just me reversed almost in the mirror and I was walking towards myself, but I didn't realise that at first because I was about a mile away.
And as far as that? Okay.
Yeah, it was quite a distance. And I stopped and waved to this person and they stopped and waved. And then it's
I see.
The old Harry Worth thing, you know, with the window.
Yes.
I did a few things like that. I had a wee bit of fun before I realised it was myself, of course, you know.
You're on a mountain talking to yourself effectively, all right?
That happened a lot, yeah. It was better. It was in Neudart once. It was a really exhausting one where I went in to do Larvin and did the quarry. And on the way out, I was dehydrated. I know I was. But I seem to remember sitting speaking to two giant otters on the top of the hill.
Okay.
that may well have happened. You know. On the way down, I was kept hearing people speaking to me. It was like trees. I was talking to trees. It was kind of very Prince Charles like, stopping to speak to the trees on the way down. You know.
Right. Right.
But I think sure that down to dehydration.
So you're hallucinating, is that right?
I think in a couple of times it had happened. It happened in Chenevry as well a wee bit. Some of the things, in the early days of doing it, of course, it wasn't digital photography, so you just run out a film on the hill, or the camera wouldn't work or something, you know, whereas now you just shoot everything you see.
That's right, yes.
I was sitting on top of Chenevry at 5 a.m, the most incredible inversion, and it was so bright up top, and I was sitting with these goats. And I'm still convinced, but I've no pictures to prove it. But I was sitting with these goats, and there are wild goats on Chenevry, sharing my breakfast with these goats. I've no photographic evidence this happened. That's the problem.
Oh, right. Okay.
And the next time I went up Chenevry, I realised there was a huge river in the middle of it, which I'd sworn to everybody else we had no river crossings that day. So I must have got across that as well without even remembering it. So
right. Okay.
You know.
And are these walks, you do them mostly on your own?
Yes. I found it easier, to be honest. I mean, there was a few people came out with me on occasion, mostly in the summer. But generally, it was easier just to go yourself, you know.
Yes, quicker, I suppose. I've obviously done a few bits and pieces at night, sometimes intentionally and sometimes not, you know. And one of the things I find sort of hill walking at night is that often you lose, when it's sort of semi-darkness, it's very easy to lose perspective.
Yes.
I can remember once... not sure where it was, maybe in Glenafric somewhere, I think. It was snowy, and I suddenly came across this enormous corrie that I just didn't realise where it was. It was on the map. And then I walked a bit further forward, and I realised the corrie was 6 foot deep. I just completely lost anything to compare it with, you know?
Yeah, well, I've done this. It's all silhouetted and things as well.
Yes.
And you find that the sounds are magnified, for instance.
Yeah.
I love the sounds at night. Even sitting in the car once, listening to the raindrops drumming on the roof of the car, just to wait till it went off. That was the only sound you got. It was fantastic.
Yeah. It's you never came to the attention of the police then, this person driving around in the middle of the night.
No, not at all. In the new one, actually, strangely enough, this last one I did, the police...
Sorry, this is your new book you're talking about, eh? Sorry,
new book, yeah, Mountains of the Moon. This was an up-to-date version to bring it all to a finish, just to see I'll explain more about that later if you want, but there was an incident that where the police, it was on Cairngorm, a whiteout, and I was the only one coming, I was coming down in the darkness in a whiteout, and the police car was checking the car parks, and there was no other cars there, obviously, and they spotted me walking down to the... I was heading down to the Sugar Bowl car park where my car was.
Yes.
They actually stopped and asked if I was all right. And as I always say, I don't know if it was a general inquiry or whether it was just at that moment that they asked.
Yeah. Okay. You're not too sure if you're all right. So you've written three books, you were saying?
Yes.
So you've got... What was the first one?
Well, the first one was Moonwalker, which was the...
Right.
Based on the first round of Monroe's, the second one was A Mountain Before Breakfast, which was the kind of follow-on from that, which was going in and did the Corbetts. But I was also doing other Monroe's and the Firths and things like that, but all woven through it. And then these two covered the period from early 90s to 2009. And then in 2018, I decided to go and do a third book, called Mountains of the Moon, in which I would basically walk a Munro on every full moon year. But the thing is, when I started looking into it more, 2018 was an extremely unusual year. It's a ton of moons that only comes around every 19 years. So that made it a wee bit different, and I pushed on to do that, to get that done. And it brought it to a nice finish, I think.
It just, oh, right, okay. Yeah. I mean, certainly in the moonlight, I've certainly had a few experiences. In the winter, when it's obviously snow on the ground, hopefully, or sometimes there is these days, it's almost like daylight with a full moon. Have you found that?
Yes, definitely. You can set some beautiful ridge walks, and I think it was Ben E, actually, we did. It was April, but there was a lot of snow. In fact, right. we had to kick up a gully at one point in that. There was still a lot of snow around the start of 2018 in April and May. And we had this beautiful walk along in which Leach just changed colour all the time because you were getting...
Yeah, I can imagine that'd be really spectacular.
What you were saying, it was so bright with the snow, and the dark sky was actually bright blue with the moon.
Right.
And then the sunrise was coming up. So the peaks changed from this blue to that glowing copper within an hour, right along that ridge. And we kept stopping and sitting and watching this. Because I dragged a few people along with this new one. Got a few volunteers. It was quite interesting. So every chapter was slightly different anyway. Different people and different perspectives.
Yes.
And different backgrounds as well, which was...
Oh, right, okay.
Even though they're just on one of them, so...
Well, Ben A is quite a big hill anyway, isn't it, to take on at night?
Well, we took 10 and a half hours to do it, and I think we obviously it took us longer to get up with the amount of gear and so on as well. But also, time around,
I mean, one of the things that I find at night is that in navigating at night, I often think that I've travelled further than I have. Now, do you find that? I don't know. Do you find that an issue?
Yes, I think that's one of the things. There's quite a few, though. Once you get used to it as well. I know, basically, that I throw the book times out the window all the time for night walking.
Right.
You go to enjoy it, and you go to make the most of it every minute, basically, that you have.
Yeah.
So forget the book times for night walking. And it's amazing what a lift that is. If you think somebody tells you, well, you should be here in 3 hours, but you just take five, who cares? That's the way to do it, and it takes that kind of pressure off it. So even if you do feel you're going slow, I mean, it felt as if we took forever to get up that quarry, for instance. But you lose the path in the boulder field, and you're trying to keep the best line. You've got to watch where you're putting your feet and your ankles and so on. You know, it's like boulder territory.
Yes.
There's no point in saying, oh, we should have been up there half an hour ago. It doesn't matter. The only thing you're trying to get up there for is the actual sunrise.
And do you think that it's kind of sharpened your skills in the hills then, doing things at night? Because it is obviously, there is an added challenge there, isn't there?
Yes, I think it's a confidence thing as well. Even, if you've got, I've done winter skills and I've done navigation courses and so on. But this really put them into practice. I mean, as you know, you can go on all these courses and it's great when you're on the course.
Sure.
But it's when you actually need to use them and actually have to use them.
Yeah.
And the navigation thing was something that was a big, big help, the navigation course. But at the same time, when you're out there, it's completely different anyway. So,
yeah. I mean, navigation really is a question of experience, isn't it? I mean, you sort of, you learn as much, but you learn more from your mistakes, I think, than the things you get right.
Yes, exactly. You learn from mistakes. And most of us are lucky that the mistakes we make are not fatal. You make mistakes and you do think, I'll never do that again,
That's
just the way it goes on. I mean, years ago we taught ourselves winter skills. Now, I'm sure some of it was wrong, but you know how to do it, that was it. We just watched videos and went out, videos as they say these days. We used to watch videos of winter skills and we taught ourselves during the day, and we made mistakes. But after all these years, we're pretty well skilled in it, I would suggest.
Yeah. Well, you're still here, which is a pretty good testimony, I think. You must have had a few hairy occasions in the hills in the winter, have you?
There's been a couple, but nothing. I had a fall on the Arden Ridge, the Witch's Step.
Oh, yes, I know where you are, yeah. Yes.
And you always think it might have been worse than it was, but it was when we had crampons on. and just skipped basically and went down, but caught my ankle between two rocks. I don't know how much further I would have fallen. I think at the time I thought, well, that could have been bad, but looking back on it, you probably wouldn't have gone too far. But then you don't have to, I suppose. You know, it just depends.
No, you don't want to. That's not something you want to find out. And the witchy step is a sort of, well, literally what it says it is, really. It's a rocky step, isn't it? Quite right. Fairly, what, about 150 feet, something like that, a step, isn't it?
Yeah. So that was one. And another one, I had a fall in the Buchel, but that was more a case I jumped down on a ledge and part of the ledge collapsed and the other half didn't. So stayed and one went right up just below the knee and flipped me. Now, that could have been a broken leg. And I had a rescue once in Wales on Triffin. That was just a fall that anybody could do. And that wasn't at night. That was when I was with somebody else.
Because it's quite a scrambly hill, Triffin, isn't it?
It's just a constant scramble all the way up. It's a beautiful hill. Yeah. Well, I was with a friend and I jumped down off a ledge to take a shortcut, and just as you could see it, just as I took off, at that instant I noticed out the corner of my eye somebody sitting underneath. I tried to get my feet and my ankle snapped the ligaments.
Oh God, yeah. I must admit, jumping on mountains is something I try and avoid, to be honest.
So they were in my younger days. I tend to be
absolutely.
not much jumping going on now.
I'm not doing much jumping either. So you've the trilogy that you've written then, is that you kind of written out your adventures at night in the hills?
Yeah, mainly. I still do stuff for a couple of magazines, that the Great Outdoors magazine and so on. I'll write up. Two of the biggest night walks I did were actually after I stopped doing the books, the first two books, before I decided to do the third one. I did Fisherfield Dusk Till Dawn, which I'd always wanted to do. So go in at night, get the sunset over the lochs, and then walk out in the daylight. And then one in the Cairngorms as well, which was fantastic. A huge, huge traverse at night, which was great. So I've been keeping doing them, but not to the extent. This is why I thought I needed to do one to wrap it up. I don't think there's really anywhere else to go with it unless I get to, as I say, 19 years from now and repeat it, but I don't think that's going to happen.
You could perhaps do them blindfold, I don't know. and what's happening with you? Do you think you'll continue writing? What do you think you're going to do?
Oh, yeah, I'm just looking at what to do next. I mean, my blog keeps going and to get a decent hit and some of the features. I write for them. I'm now writing as the main contributor for the Monroe Society newsletter.
Oh, okay.
3 or 4 times a year. So I'm now doing the main feature on that for every quarter.
Every quarter, yeah.
And I'm still doing TGO, and I do some stuff for Scots Magazine and National Trust and various things like that. So there's always a lot of scope. But also I was thinking of doing some more books that are not as a trilogy. So it was more like all the writings put into one book. So you've got a nice big feature. And I'd say a dozen blogs on the same subject and then another feature. So I was thinking of doing them as the Moonwalker Chronicles and just doing them on Kindle for like £1 or something, 99 pence, and having three of them. And it's a way of keeping all your writings in the one place almost. Yes. But there's people picking up for 99p and reading one at a time and, you know, that sort of thing. I wouldn't as a print. I would just do it as Kindle. That's one. It's just putting them all together now. In order.
So you're very much keeping your hand in with the writing. And are you still as keen on the hills as you were, do you think?
Oh, yes. This is actually quite frustrating because I was nearly finished my fourth round of Monroe's. I only had 50 to go, but that's obviously on hold now. Probably, to be honest, probably for this year, if I'm being realistic.
I think it's going to be very difficult, isn't it? You know, you do realise that I consider the need to climb Monroe's as a bit of an affliction, and I think you probably got it pretty bad by the sound of it.
Well, I do and I don't. I mean, I finished my full house last year, which was pretty, because that's all the lists, and I finished on Ben Nevis, one of the tops I'd kept forever, so I finished.
All
lists. But for me, it was always about having a target, because it forces me out sometimes when I feel lazy.
Well, there is that. It's good.
That was one of the things. that if I just go up Glendall every week, I'm sure I would say some mornings, oh, I quite fancy lying in my bed, I'll do this. Whereas it's something I've never done, I push myself far more to do it. And that was a lot for me with the list, was to keep going, keep going, keep going. Yeah. I'm not desperate for the Munros, but I would like to finish my fourth round. I must admit, I would like to wrap that up. I've said I'm not doing another one.
I'm sure you'll get there one day. I mean, I think we've missed each other very narrowly, haven't we? In Rui Aitchikinbothy, is that right? I think you were there about a day after me, is that correct?
Yeah. And then I think the one up at the Loch Na Garr one, we've missed each other again by a couple of days, I believe.
Oh, did we? Gildershill.
Yes, Gildershill, that's right. You were there.
Yeah, yeah. When we had that really good snap of winter, wasn't it?
It was fabulous, yeah.
I can't remember exactly when that was. It seems so long ago now. I think that was it in December? I think it was, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't as far back. I don't think it was as far back as that. I thought it was like the end of February.
Could be the end of February. To be honest, it's all a bit of a blur to me. But I think we also missed each other very narrowly in Fort William Bookshop, didn't we?
Yes. Yes.
So we've had it. So who knows? If I'm on the hills at night and I see a figure coming towards me, and it's not myself reflected off a broken spectacle, I'll know it's you. Okay. It's been great talking to you. And I'm really hearing about your adventures. And it must have been a fascinating journey through all those nights, you know.
Yeah, there's some amazing nights. Some. As I say, some hallucinations and some fantastic surprises.
Are you still nocturnal or can you sleep now?
Well, funnily enough, since this lockdown, I have, because I'm in a routine, I get up in the morning, have my breakfast, I go and do my exercise for an hour, 2 hours. I've got the running machine, I've got the garden, I've got my usual circuit, which I can adapt and go through. I've got sand dunes here and boulder fields, so I can do all that in different days, you know. And then I come back and have my lunch, and then I do some work, and I can sleep at night because I tend to go to bed about 10, 11 now, and I wake up at 8. For 40 years, you know, because just all these mad hours I was working, and then once you stop doing that, I've been doing it for about 30 years. After you stop doing it, you think you get into a routine, but you don't.
Right.
And then, of course, as soon as the mountains come back into play, as well, of course, is the fact that, oh, it's a beautiful night, I'll get up at 3 in the morning, you know, get up, can't sleep that well, so I'll get up at 3 and drive off and do something.
Right.
So once we're back in the mountain way of doing things, then I'm sure I'll lose this. But at the moment, it's quite bizarre, actually, that I've got a routine and I feel good and I feel quite fit. You would have thought the opposite, you know. But anyway.
So you're like a normal person right now.
I'm beginning to worry about it. This is what this terrible phrase that they'll use, the new normal.
Oh, God, yeah, new normal, yeah. I suppose we'll never get used to that. Anyway, thanks very much, Alan. Really nice to speak to you. And I'll put a couple of links to your books on the podcast website. But it's been great fun talking to you. Thanks very much.
That's great, John. Thank you very much. Good to speak to you.